Hey there, Brainiacs. Welcome to the Beaker Report podcast, the science show for the average Joe. I'm your host, Steve Burke.
And I'm Caleb Schuler.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Prepare to get your minds blown. Or not.
Yeah, probably not. No, but really, prepare. All right, we're back with another episode of the Beaker Report podcast, and Caleb's back with us from long hiatus of parenting babyhood problems.
Yeah, if you listen closely, you can probably hear the baby crying right now.
That's awesome. And also today, sure. We are fortunate enough to have an awesome guest. Today with us, we have... Oh, yeah. Is that the baby?
That's a dog. That's a dog and a baby.
So
today, I hope my baby does not sound like that.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing to that baby? So today we're fortunate to have an awesome guest. Today, Chris DuPont from Wright State University. I was going to say graduate student, but you're not actually a graduate student per se, right? You're not in a program. You're just a tech, right? Research assistant.
Just a research assistant.
Which, not to say just a research assistant, it's still a big deal.
No, I like the just before research assistant.
So you work in a lab that we collaborate with a lot, Dr. Rich's lab, and do very similar research, I guess, like electrophysiology stuff and study. Neuromuscular type diseases and stuff like that. So I thought Chris would be an awesome guest to bring on and talk a bit about that.
I want to drink a lot during this podcast.
but also, the reason I brought you on additionally is you are from Canada, right? So you're French-Canadian primarily.
Yeah, that's correct.
So you came here for, did you come here for undergrad or did you come here after undergrad?
No, I came here for undergrad. I came here in 2012. Didn't know how to speak any English. I was, it was a little bit kind of weird to be here at first, you know, in Ohio. And I born and raised in Montreal. I lived in Europe and now I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere, America. It's been a great experience. I came here for soccer. Like, I played on the Wright State soccer team, but then and I decided to be a physics major. I had no clue I was going to go to college before like 4 weeks I started at Wright State. So they were like, hey, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And I'm like,
big question.
Yeah, that's a pretty big question. So I just said, physics sounds kind of cool. So So I enrolled at Wright State and I've been here, since August 2012 now.
That's awesome. Nice. So like you said, you primarily, I mean, in Canada, you just primarily spoke French and that's what you went to school and everything was in French, right?
So like, I mean, my mom is bilingual. She's my grandparents are Czech, so they came to Montreal and they learned English before French. So my mom learned English, but she never really taught us English because it's not needed. I mean, all of my friends, they all spoke French. I went to French school.
Yeah,
and then when I moved to Europe, I went to France and Geneva, Switzerland, which are two French speaking places.
Yeah,
so I never had to use English at all. So
when did you learn English then?
Well, we go through like high school, you know, like you guys learn Spanish, we learn English. I guess it's a little bit more intensive than your guys' Spanish.
It would have to be, because I took like 2 years of Spanish in high school and like I can say hi and thank you and bye.
So many Americans that came to me are like, oh, I took French in high school, four years of French. And I'm like, all right, go ahead. Like, what do you know? And they're like,
good luck.
That'd be my wife.
Bonjour.
Oui.
Great. 4 years. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like, it's like a requirement in high school, but like, it's so lax, I think, because it's a requirement. Like, if it wasn't a requirement, they might be more strict, but like, literally everybody has to take it. So even people like totally uninterested. So, I don't know. I guess in Canada, I guess that's, everyone has to take it, right?
Yeah, and we start earlier too. We start in third grade. So I think now they start even in first grade. But
I think that makes much more sense. Like, you're not going to learn a language in 2 years in high school. Like,
especially the earlier you start, the easier it is, you know, after. So I don't know why they don't implement it earlier for you guys, for Spanish at least. But
I don't know. But what are you going to do? I mean, most places you go, I think if you learn the basics of the language there, you can still get by with English. Mm-hmm. Like most people, I think.
Yeah.
Most countries are like that, where like they teach the students in that country how to speak English.
Yeah.
As well.
English is super powerful just around the world. I mean, you can go anywhere and speak English and, you know, you're going to be able to take a piss in the bathroom. You know?
Yeah.
So, but it's really nice now that I'm pretty comfortable in English. I can visit different parts of the world that, you know, weren't as accessible.
Right.
They are now.
That's awesome. I overheard at our last meeting that you do a lot of traveling in Europe, or was Mark just giving you a hard time?
No, I mean, I would like to go a little bit more often, but, I'm going to Europe actually in 2 weeks. I'm going back to France and Switzerland. So I played soccer there. I left when I was 16, 17, and I lived in a host family in Geneva, Switzerland for 2 years, played soccer there. So I'm going back and see the family I used to live with. I mean, they had three kids, so kids I've got really good friends with. So I'm in contact with them, so it's going to be pretty cool to go see them again. I mean, I haven't seen them in like 10 years now, so
that's awesome.
And then France, same thing. I lived in an academy, so with like the team and stuff.
Yeah,
so it was more like a hotel. Like we had it pretty nice, like a chef cooks for you.
Wow.
Does your
so
laundry.
You were you're obviously a decent soccer player then. Yeah, like
average at best.
Yeah, but like, I mean, your basic
probably
like
a little bit better.
Nobody's no chef's cooking me food if they watch me play soccer.
No, I mean,
you know, people are walking away from me.
Yeah. Yeah, soccer was a huge part of my life. And it got me, I mean, to travel a ton.
Yeah.
And I met so many like cool people too through traveling and through living in different places, learn different cultures, and especially soccer's super multicultural sport. So, I mean, I played with, you know, a bunch of players from Africa, different parts of Africa, a bunch of players from Asia. So it was really cool for me to, you know, go back to their family and learn a little bit about their culture. And like, it opened my eyes to a lot of things that I feel like probably a lot of people here in the States and even in Canada, like, haven't got to see it.
Anytime you go any place other than, you know, where you're from, I feel like you get that. It's always eye opening.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, like, cause Joey and I, she's Filipino and we went to the Philippines.
Oh yeah.
I guess it was last year, 2 years ago now. You see so much and learn so much just from a couple of weeks, like being somewhere. So I could imagine like going somewhere else and like living there and then like, so, but yeah, I mean, it's so different when you go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's eye opening. So that's really cool. And to be able to do something, you know, that's a passion and then to also get that experience, like most people have to pay top dollar to get that experience.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Like, I mean, especially at a young age to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm in my teens. I don't really have any responsibilities.
Yeah.
I don't have a kid like Caleb. So, So like I get to do a bunch of stuff. Really it was really cool. And especially like, I mean, I lived in France and Switzerland, but when you play at the, like a high level, you play against teams from Italy. I played in Germany, you know, I got to go to England. I got to go to Spain.
Yeah.
Just playing different teams from all over the world, and I didn't realize it when I was there. I was like, oh yeah, you know, it's everyday life, you know, I'm playing soccer and try to make it, you know. And but then now that I'm a little older and I can look back to it, I'm like, wow, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, you know? That's really cool. So is that typical then in Canada? Like, is there like a program that you go into for that, or is it like, because like you said, you were young and traveling around doing this, so like, here, I know a lot of guys from my high school that played soccer, and like they just played the local high schools. They didn't go all over the world. So,
yeah, I was fortunate. Like, I got into the Canadian national program at a really young age, and traveled like a really young age. I played the World Cup like for little kids when I was 12. So that's my first like a European experience, if you want. So we got to go to Europe and play different teams from like Argentina, like South American teams, African teams and stuff. And that's my first exposure. And then when I got 16, I pretty much through like contacts and through like the name that I made in Canada, which is like nothing for soccer. So you kind of like, I was good at soccer in Canada, but then when I got to Europe, I realized that a lot of people are good at soccer.
So, it's crazy how huge soccer is, you know, outside. Because in the U.S., like, it's a lot of people like soccer here, but like, it's nowhere near some of the other sports.
It's definitely a young sport in the States and in North America and Canada.
But everywhere else, it's like king. It's huge. It's like,
it's a religion.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. People go to the games and it's really, it feels like church.
Yeah.
Just like people sing the same songs. I mean, it really is. Like, people sing the same songs and they just, you know, cheer and like they cry for their teams and stuff. And it's really eye opening. And you're like, wow, okay. It's a lot more pressure too when you play in front of these fans and stuff. But it's totally different. And their soccer is in their culture. So, like, for here, the best athletes, they go and they play football. Yeah. They go and they play like baseball, basketball. Yeah. Those are the main sports. But if you go to Europe, the best athletes, they play soccer.
Yeah.
So it's a
tough sport. Like, you're actually running constantly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's brutal.
No, it sounds awful.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is. Like, I don't even know. Now that I'm retired, and I mean, try to get out of shape, but it's my goal to get out of shape.
I have the exit goal.
Wow.
But no, I mean, it's terrible. Like, I grew up playing hockey, so hockey was my main sport.
Okay.
And I kind of wish I stayed with
that. That sounds more Canadian.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, I was listening to your guys' podcast with Falardo. Was that his last name?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Oh boy, like, that was a doozy.
Canadian name. Let's see what he knows about the French part of Canada. And you guys were like just stating all the stereotypical stuff, and I'm like, actually, you guys are pretty dead on.
I know nothing about
that's
Canada.
That's brutal.
We put maple syrup on everything. That is the truth. Like,
that's
I put maple syrup on my eggs until I was like 15, and then people were like,
that is awful.
Yeah, people are like, that's weird, and I'm like, no, it's not.
It's pretty normal.
It's what we do.
It's like that's like Will Ferrell and Elf. When
yeah,
he puts maple syrup on spaghetti.
Yeah, no, that's
you guys.
Yeah, that's us. We're like all elves, just a little shorter than Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
but
that's hilarious. I love watching hockey, though. I went to my first pro.
Oh, hockey's great.
Yeah, it's the best sport.
Yeah.
I mean, people that don't like hockey, it's because they've never been to a live game. Go to a live game.
I went to my first one like literally a couple of months ago.
Really?
Went to the Columbus Blue Jackets game. And it's just so fun live. And
go there, buy a couple overpriced beers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, get a little buzz in you. And this sport is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fast. It's, you know, these guys are on skates and they're like,
dude, it's crazy.
They have so much abilities on skates.
Yeah.
Until you've skated, you can't really appreciate it. But then you go on the ice and you're like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
These guys are.
And it's the only sport where, like, when you do something that somebody gets mad about, you get to, like, actually, like, fight each other.
Yeah.
Like, other than, like, literally fighting sports.
Yeah.
But other sports, like, if you try to throw a punch, like, they might, like try to give a lawsuit or something like that.
So, when you're, like, from 7 through, like, 12 years old, growing up in Canada, what you do? Well, I don't know if I would say in Quebec, at least. In the locker room before games, we would just put like our gloves and our helmet on and we just start beating the crap out of each other. Literally, like as kids in the middle, we would have like wrestling and like fighting, like boxing matches. And a referee, like one of our friends would be the referee, and then we just beat the crap out of each other. And that was like really fun for us.
All right.
And then we would go on the ice. That's like that's what we like grew up. Like our idols are fighting and they're like missing teeth.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I've seen hockey players like get teeth knocked out and they come over the side and like hand it to their coach and they put it on ice till the game's over.
They go rag back in.
No, hockey players are brutal, gruesome dudes.
Yeah, it's a tough game and it's a different culture too. Like, I feel like basketball, all these team sport, they're kind of big egos, like individuals. You see it a lot in basketball, especially, I feel like. Just the way they interview and stuff, it's always like, but the hockey culture is so different. Like, it's all about the team.
Yeah.
If you're not like a humble player, like, somebody's going to tell you on the team, and it's all about the team. And I kind of like that. And I miss that through, especially in soccer, it's a little bit like basketball more, I would say. I miss that. The hockey culture is the best.
Yeah.
And then you go, like, get some beers after the game with the
guy.
That's
what's amazing. So
that's the best part.
Yeah. Caleb plays in a, like, a little softball league, right? With the
It's great. With, we get beers.
Like, scientists?
I haven't played at all this season. Yeah, they're all academics. Couple of professors, some admin people, and then a couple of people here and there. But, and a couple other grad students. So,
Nice.
We go play, and then afterwards we go drink beers.
Yeah.
The word on the street is we have a beer-drinking team with a softball problem. That's what they call it.
But yeah, so that's what I like. Like, we were talking about before the podcast, I've been doing a lot of bike riding.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when you do something active like that, you get to like do all the things that people want to do, like eat and like overindulge in things, mm-hmm. but not have to feel guilty about it. Yeah, that's what I love about it. So that's, mm-hmm.
Well, let's just be clear that softball is not active at all. There's like a split second where you run the whole game. That's it.
That's what always blows my mind. You mentioned baseball. That's what always blows my mind about baseball is that, like, you know, you say the best athletes will go into this or that, and baseball is one of those. But, like, how athletic do you really have to be?
It's a skill.
Yeah, it's more of a skill game. Yeah.
It is. I mean, if you can play 160-something games during a season – it has to be.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, it has to be like a skill. Like, you can't go all out, you know, just like playing hockey 160 times during the year. You're gonna,
oh my god,
you're gonna be injured all the time. So
right.
It really is a skill. Like, it's a little bit like golf, if you want. Like,
right. Yeah.
To me, at least.
It amazes me though with the hockey. Back to hockey, we're going all over the place. But what's it called? The Stanley Cup? What's mm-hmm. the hockey thing? Stanley Cup?
Stanley Cup, yes.
I don't know. I never followed sports when I was young, but like they do like, what is it, like 7-game series with mm-hmm. each team?
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah,
like,
it's a never ending
back
story.
To back to
it's
back.
It's great.
And then how many teams are going, like, how many times do they have to do that 7-game thing in a row? Like, so one team. Till they get to the final thing.
So yeah, there's like about 32 teams, 16 teams per conferences. So you have Eastern, Western Conference, if you want.
Yeah.
And the best 8 teams make the playoffs.
Okay.
So then on each side, you know, like 1 goes versus 8, 2, 7, you know.
Right.
And then you do 7-game series, and then you go and move on to the next. So I think it's like quarter, semi, conference final, and then Stanley Cup final. So you got to go through 4 series.
Ugh.
Of 7 games.
It's a lot of freaking games.
Yeah, it's a lot of games. It's brutal.
Yeah. Whatever. So I was briefly just because I went to the game, mm-hmm. briefly following Columbus through their mm-hmm. series with the Bruins, I think.
Yeah.
They blew it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did they lose?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, damn.
In 6, yeah.
Because they were doing pretty good for a second.
Yeah, they were. I mean, yeah. They went all in. They traded for, like, really good players that are – you're going to be free agents, so they're probably going to leave. So they kind of put it all in a pot and say it's this year or never. And
it didn't happen.
Never.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's funny. The game I went to, they played the Bruins, and they won that night.
They did?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, I think the Bruins are going to win it all. So.
Really?
Yeah, they're a good team.
Huh.
Yeah.
What happened in those couple nights when Columbus got them?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Columbus
they were
good.
Just slipping.
Yeah, Columbus probably the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. What's the best team in your mind, like, overall in any conference
right now?
Yeah,
I would say the Bruins.
Bruins, just
yeah,
all out. All
yeah, right. I think the Bruins are the best. My favorite team. I'm from Montreal, so I'm a Montreal Canadian fan.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been sucking though.
What's their team called? Just
the Montreal Canadiens.
Montreal, real creative.
Yeah.
What's mascot? The maple syrup.
The Canadiens are. It's just it's just a big bottle of maple syrup.
They just pour it out on the ice.
The mascot is high on sugar every night, just screaming at kids.
No, but really, what is it? What was the mascot?
It's I don't know what. We used to not have a mascot. And then the Montreal Expos, which was the old baseball
that's
team.
That's a good, yeah.
They had a UP who was like a famous mascot. Huh. And when they left town, they brought UP to the Montreal Canadiens. So now
they hired him.
Yeah, they hired him. So now we got this orange kind of weird looking monster. Huh. Who's our mascot? Cool. Doesn't have anything to do with the logo or the Montreal Canadiens, but
that's a mascot.
It's a mascot. Yeah.
All right.
That's like Philly, though. They got what's his name? Fanatic? Or
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
The baseball.
No, no. They have the what's his name? Yeah, the orange, like weird looking, the big eyes guy.
Yeah, the crazy.
Yeah,
dude.
Crazy. And he's mean. He's mean and stuff.
Yeah, he's like on Twitter talking shit to people all the time.
Is he really the mascot?
The mascot. Yeah, it's,
that's you gotta look him up.
Dude, I'm so bad at Twitter. Like, I don't know. It never caught on for me. Like, I don't like reading through. Like, that's why I avoid Facebook. Like, I don't really care what people are saying or what they have to say. Like, most of it's negative and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So my main social media thing is Instagram because I just like to flip through pictures when I'm bored and I'm like, okay, cool, what's this guy doing?
Yeah,
check that out. But like, I never really got into the Twitter thing. So anything happening on Twitter, I'm like out of it. I'm I don't know anything.
It's just a big area for everyone to cry about politics. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah, I don't own a Twitter account, so I don't even like.
Oh, really?
I don't even know.
I wish I didn't. I would get rid of mine.
Yeah,
but
I have Instagram.
I use it for network.
Yeah, like that's you, Steve. Yeah, Instagram's nice just for pictures and stuff, and it's kind of a way I can keep track of my friends in different countries.
Just
and
see
I know
kind
of what they're doing and stuff.
Yeah,
so that's the cool part. But yeah, no, social media is in. Overall, it's kind of, I don't know, kind of a waste of time a little bit.
A real waste of time.
Sometimes I wish I just delete the app and I'd be like so much more productive.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially now that they got like stories and stuff. Like you can continue. And then they have the little explore spot where you can just flip through endlessly. And they're like, here's something you would like. Here's something you would like.
Yeah.
It's a problem. But yeah. So, what were you talking about? The freaking mascot from the orange crazy guy?
Yeah, how do we get that?
I don't know. We started with sports, which is like a complete... That's not normal for the Beaker Report, right?
Yeah, we don't really talk sports a whole lot.
No.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I watch sports all the time, but not a whole lot of soccer. I got to admit, I don't really get it. I'm not on the bandwagon yet, but it's growing right in the United States.
It is.
Like clearly Cincinnati is
booming. Awesome.
Right,
I was
now.
There last weekend. It was great. It's just a cool atmosphere. I mean,
yeah,
it's awesome. And no, I understand like soccer. I mean, I played it for several years and I still think sometimes it's kind of boring to watch.
See, I was about to I was about to say it's actually fun for me to watch. I think like,
oh, how dare you? No, it's don't lie
but
to
us. I haven't watched game after game. I've only watched during, like, what's the Stanley Cup of soccer?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I would say there is some games, like, if you watch European games.
It does get exciting.
Yeah. There are some games that are exciting, especially in the last few months. Like, you have Champions League, which is a big tournament in Europe.
Yeah.
If you can watch a couple Champions League games, you'll see, like, this is high-level stuff.
Right.
And these guys know what they're doing.
I forget what was going on. Like, there's, like, the biggest soccer competition ever.
The World Cup?
Yeah, the World Cup. Yeah. It was the name
nailed
was blanking
it.
In my mind, but like we were in DC, Joey's from DC, and her cousin Trish and her cousin's fiance Javier, he's a big soccer fan. Mm-hmm. So
they're gonna have a baby too.
Yeah, yeah, very soon. Joey just got back from the baby shower, so
oh nice.
But yeah, so we were over there and the World Cup was going on and obviously Javier's just like following it, so like we were going to restaurants and stuff and hanging out and he'd be sneaking off to like check out the TV. So we were in one bar and like we watched a whole game and like I thought it was great. Like,
oh,
the particular game I was watching I guess was eventful. So
yeah, no, I mean, if you just like sit down in front of your TV, you're by yourself, you're watching soccer, not the best.
Yeah,
but like if you go to a bar, especially if you're in another country and you get to watch a game there with like
The fans going crazy.
Yeah,
it's a whole different experience.
I bet.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, not here in the U.S. If you're like in Europe or something like that, like, something's going on, I bet it gets crazy.
Oh, yeah. I went to Liverpool a month ago. So I'm a big Liverpool FC fan, so the soccer team. And one of my buddy and I, we went watched two games there, and we were we watched an away game, so we were the away fans, so the Liverpool fans away, and we just spent like kind of the afternoon with them just drinking and like singing and stuff, and I had chills literally from like 3 p.m. to like 12 a.m. It was insane.
It was just crazy.
Yeah, just it's I've never seen this before.
And yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, and it's got to be
like
awesome.
Rich history out there for that type of stuff, yeah, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
So when I was in the Navy, we hung out with the Brits a few different times. Mm-hmm. And one time I was we were in Baltimore and we're on a bus with them and we're all drunk. And they were like, "Hey, do you got any songs that you guys sing?" And we're like, What are you talking about? And they start singing like old Navy songs. They just looked at us. We're like, "No, dude, we don't."
Yeah, no,
we don't do that in America. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, they just sing like all. They have all these songs too. For each player on the team, they have a song, like a specific song. Oh, wow. Yeah, and they know it. They know them all and stuff. It was,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's awesome. I wish we did that more, but like, that's not. I don't think singing
it's
is
just,
happening.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just it's un-American.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you just feel kind of weird. Like, just start. You just bust out in song. Like,
yeah, yeah. And if it's
try it, man.
Yeah, if it's kind of fake too, you can feel it. Yeah, you know? For them, right. It's just like it's part of their culture. They just, I mean, it's spontaneous.
Yeah.
Compared to here, if you start singing, people are like, "All right,
look
buddy.
At this guy."
All right.
The only time you get away with singing here is if you're going to karaoke.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm not sure.
Caleb hates karaoke.
I've never done it. Never done it.
Same.
You haven't done it?
Never done it.
Joey's, like I said, she's Filipino. Her family, Filipinos love,
they love that shit.
Karaoke. Literally every holiday event we go to, like they have a family member that has like a karaoke machine that they bring.
Oh, wow.
And like that's what you do. So it's karaoke.
Wow.
Jeez.
So you've got to feel uncomfortable the first time you go up on stage in front of the family.
Well, so I come from...
Yeah, what song did you pick for
who
the first
knows?
One?
I come from a family that loves karaoke also. My dad, like...
Okay.
I grew up playing music. So that's why I was not a sports guy.
Yeah,
I did music. Yeah, so... and my dad is a lead singer and a guitar player.
Oh, okay.
So and so anytime there's karaoke at a bar, he's the first one up there and he's like, "What's up, man?" Like he's like bringing the house, like he's not, like going off script and stuff. Yeah, and like he knows the words, he's got songs, like,
so it's
in
your
DNA. But I'm not a front man, so I'm not a big fan of doing karaoke.
Yeah.
But I like being there for karaoke because it's always fun to watch drunk people. It's like karaoke's great for, I don't like going and doing it, but it's great for watching and people watching because it's always entertaining.
Oh yeah. People watching is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one song that I would do a karaoke, is that Tequila song where it just, you just have to say that.
Tequila?
Yeah.
I know the melody. I don't know. You just say tequila.
You should say and then when the like music stops, you say tequila, and then it goes on.
That's a perfect karaoke.
That's perfect karaoke.
That's a good
song.
Choice,
you just
man.
Go up there.
I feel like I would nail that.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, you'll have to come to karaoke next time. We'll have you along, and then you can pull that song out. We went last time. So last time we did karaoke. Do you know Ryan Ricozzi from Wright State? He works in Dr. Wyatt's lab.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He came out that night, and Joey was... It was her last day at her old job, and there were some coworkers there doing karaoke and at this bar down the street. And so we met up with them, and Ryan went up and did Creed. What's the awful Creed song, like the most popular one? Well, I just
the
heard
the Scream movie.
Yeah, the news today, whatever. It's a Creed song. He did it, but he just kept repeating the first phrase. He just kept saying, "Well, I just heard."
That's all I know.
Well, I just
and I'm gonna nail it.
And he literally did it for the whole 3 minutes or whatever the song. Like, he did not stop. Like, I would have done it like a couple times as a joke and then like move on. Yeah. But he just kept going. It was hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
brutal, man. That's a hard joke to keep going after about 20 seconds.
After 20 seconds, then now you're annoying people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you kind of like reach a threshold, then it becomes funny again.
Yeah.
Because now you're so committed to
right.
it. It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's been doing it for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, you gotta applaud that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the commitment because I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious. So I guess, man, we went on a huge tangent there. We never even brought in science or the lab or anything. But so you did your undergrad here. You mm-hmm. were talking about, you know, that was actually interesting to me. You said that you, like, a couple of days before going to college, you had no idea what you wanted to do with your life. That's pretty much you're in good company here, because that's exactly us really. As well. So
yeah,
like,
it makes me feel better.
Yeah. So what why'd you go to college in the first place, I guess, is what my first question.
So my contract ran out in France, and the first team had a bad season. They went down a division, so you lose a lot of money. So they got rid of a bunch of internationals. Hmm. So I was one of them. And now
for soccer.
Yeah. That all I did was soccer. I graduated from high school. I left Canada, and then I went straight playing soccer. Didn't go back to school or anything.
You're getting paid.
Yeah. I was getting some money and stuff. Wow. And now I'm just out of contract, and I'm looking for
How many years did you do that for?
So
then,
three years.
Okay.
So 2 years in Geneva, 1 year in France.
Wow.
And
that's still amazing. Even if you don't make it forever, like, to do it for 3 years. Like,
yeah. No, it was definitely. Yeah, it was a good experience. But
that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And then now I just had to kind of, I didn't really have many offers. I mean, I'm a Canadian player, like soccer player.
Yeah.
They're like, what, you guys play soccer in Canada? Yeah, I'm the only one. That's why I was good.
Yeah. Is it mostly Quebec? Like, is it the French Canadian thing?
No, it's all Canada.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, there, I mean, soccer is not that great there, but it's about the same. I feel like Quebec, Ontario, which is another big province, and British Columbia, they're three main one. They produce like decent players, I guess. And so I was there, and I and then I was out of a contract now at this time. I think it was about July. And there's a coach that I had back home. She reached out to me. It was a girl. She reached out to me, and she knew the coach at Rice State really well. And she said, look, this guy has a place for a guy in my position. He's offering you a scholarship. Like, would you be willing to go to school and maybe pursue your career in the States? And I said, well, I didn't know at first. And then my parents always pushed me to get an education. They're like, oh, we didn't.
Yeah.
My parents were both high school graduate. They never went to college. So they're like, if you can get a free education, just, you know, take it.
Yeah.
I don't care about your soccer career. You never know what can happen. You can get injured. You know, you never know. But at this point, I was like, I'm going to make it. Like, I think I will. But I decided to take it, give it a shot. And discovered like a different side of me, if you want. Like, I started liking school, and I liked what I did in physics, and I just got really involved in it. And I kind of changed my path a
little
bit. Was
that the first thing you chose, was physics?
Yeah.
You didn't change at all? You just went physics?
No, I went physics. Yeah. So I wanted, I was interested. I was always really curious in high school, and I was a decent student. So
yeah.
I liked all the subjects. I really liked history. So at first I was like, I'll be a history major. And then I looked at the jobs after.
What do you do with that? Write a book?
Yeah, I didn't want to work at McDonald's for the rest of my life. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I was like, the first thing that scared me was writing papers.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know the language very well. So I'm like, I'm not going to go into a major where I'm going to have to write 300 papers in the first year. I'm just going to be anxious the entire time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick a science, and I love science. And then the science that I liked the best was physics. So I pick it. And I feel really fortunate, because there was a bunch of like teachers in the physics department. They helped me, because when you're an athlete, you miss a lot of classes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they just helped me through it, and they're awesome about it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Everything kind of fall into pieces.
Yeah. That's cool. So then you did your physics major, you got that out of the way, and then what got you in the door for research? Or when did that start? When did you start thinking about that as a option?
So I, because of like NCAA rules, I only had a few years of eligibility for soccer, so I didn't get to graduate. But I went to play, so I played 1 year pro in between. So I went back, I signed a small like USL contract, which is the second division here in the States, with Real Salt Lake in Salt Lake City. So I did that for a few months, actually, like maybe 5 months, and then they didn't re-sign me. So I was like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm going to go back to school. I have one semester left. So I went back to Wright State and finished without being on the soccer team, just as a student. Yeah. I finished my last semester at Wright State, graduated with my physics degree. And now I started like kind of exploring different paths because I'm like, I don't know what I want to do with my life, but I know I want it to be science related.
Right.
So I started doing a little bit of research. And at the time, my cousin just married this woman who's awesome woman from Canada, and she's a plastic surgeon.
Oh yeah.
So she would talk to me at Christmas and be like, dude, I think you would be like a good doctor if that interests you. Like, would you like, you know, to go into medicine? So I started thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I said, the first thing I think would be the most relevant to go to medical school would be doing research.
Right.
So I looked online at Wright State research position and which lab I think I would like. And Dr. Rich did muscle electrophysiology, and it was all about muscle weakness and muscle diseases, which is really relevant to what I did. Like, I was injured all the time as a soccer player, and muscle injury, I got a ton of them.
My muscles hurt.
Yeah. So I sent an email, you know, got hired by Dr. Rich, and the, pretty much after that, the rest is history. Now I'm getting ready to start medical school in July.
Yeah, that's super exciting. So you just did the MCAT process, you did all the application stuff, and now you officially got accepted into Wright State.
And I'll be an MD PhD, so I got that.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I didn't even hear that part. Yeah, congrats.
So I got
nice.
That's super awesome.
The scholarship to do it. So, I'm pretty excited. So I'll be at Wright State for at least the next 7 years.
You're committed.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's super awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
So do you have an idea of like what specialty you want to go into? Or I know people ask me that because I'm thinking about the same route.
And
I always... I'm like, man, it's such a long time.
Exactly.
Like, I have my interest, but it could change, you know, within a decade. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm not the same person I was a year ago.
No,
so
I
like,
know.
Yeah, so.
That's, I don't exactly say that, but it's really similar. Like, I just say, you know, I don't want to close any doors.
Right.
I mean, there's obviously stuff that I like, being an athlete, being close to an athlete throughout my life, like orthopedic would make sense.
Yeah.
But I spent time with plastic surgeon and I was like, this is really cool. My cousin's wife does facial reconstructions for like burnt people or people with really bad accidents. So that I thought this was like,
do shadowing with her?
Yeah, I did shadow with her and it was just amazing. Like she changes life literally. Like, so I really like,
see, that's the one
part.
Plastic surgery. Like I wouldn't do like,
aesthetic
vanity plastic. He's French Canadian, English second language, and he's reminding me of the words. Like I'm so bad with vocabulary.
Like, what is that fancy
what's that word
making people look good?
But yeah, so like that wouldn't interest me as much, but people who like are born with a disfigured you know look or get in an injury or something like that, that's pretty interesting.
I think
that's
plastic
cool.
surgery kind of gets a bad rep just
because of that
because people think, oh, plastic surgery where you're gonna make fake titties for the rest of your life, and I'm like,
right, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna change the world one titty at a time,
like, one butt cheek. At
hey,
a time.
Man, brother, someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. You're right. You're right. But no, so there's different things, and I bet there's a ton of specialty that I don't even know about right now.
Right, right.
That I might discover when.
That's
I'm
what
in
I
school.
Always say when people ask me. It's like right now I want to go into surgery of some kind, but like. Who knows what, when I go through residency, who knows what might, you know, catch me and be like, ooh, you know, like when I went through Andy's, class, you know, when I signed up for the class, I was like, oh, you know, neuromuscular, this, that might be interesting, but I had no idea about it. And then I, you know, went through the class and said, hey, I'd be interested in coming in the lab and introduce myself and stuff like that. And went in the lab. I had no idea about research. I had no idea what to expect. But once I got there, everything was like, it just clicked. It was like super interesting. I loved every aspect of it. And there's things like that happen sometimes. So you have this idea of what you want to do, but once you like get into something, it's a totally different experience. Like once you actually do it, what you imagine and what you actually experience can be two totally different things sometimes. So I'm always like, I have no idea. Like,
no, exactly. And I'm not much of a planner too. So I'm okay not knowing where I'm going to be in the next like 2 years or even what I'm going to wear like tomorrow. Like I really,
I'm the same exact way. Yeah. My wife hates it.
She's yeah. Same. Like, yeah. So it's, yep. Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Guys.
Yeah. So that's the thing right now. I have some ideas, but I bet yeah. it's going to change and I'm totally okay.
Yeah.
With it.
Are you super, this is a totally off the wall question, but are you super like, security? Like when you leave, like when you get out of your car, do you worry about locking your door?
That is off the wall. What yeah. the fuck?
Yeah.
You do?
I okay. always lock stuff. I mean,
maybe it's just me. Because I was thinking maybe, because, you know, you're similar, like you said, you don't, one day to the next, you're not a planner. Mm-hmm. My dad always gets on me because, like, I'm just, like, so lax about,
oh, okay.
Like, security. Like, I never lock the door of my Jeep. Like, I'm like, if okay. someone's going to bust into my, I'd rather just open the door and see that there's nothing in there.
You know, locking cars and stuff, that's a cultural thing. Because back home, we lock everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So, like, the front door, like, I don't know, we just lock the car. Like I've seen people yeah. here not locking their car, just leaving the keys in the car too.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I take my keys.
That's
me.
A ballsy move.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to live life on the
and
edge,
like
but.
Too. Like I'll like, if I'm just like going down to the corner to like fill up my gas tank or mm-hmm. like, you know, grab beer before a podcast or whatever, I'm not locking the door. Like yeah. I'm just walking out of the house and then it, like, I'm going to be gone for 10 minutes. I'll okay. be back. Nothing's going to happen. No. Like, I don't know. I'm
dude,
super.
No way, dude. I lock it. I lock it if I just go in to pay for gas.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Same. Dang. I guess that's just me. Then. Yeah. I was like,
you're hoping. You're
yeah,
hoping
I
we'd
I
be there
to
with
find
you.
Some
but
comrades, but.
Yeah. What kind of car do you drive?
No, you're the only crazy one, dude.
Well, the Jeep thing, the house thing, I could be better about locking the door yeah. and stuff like that. But the Jeep, like, it's got a fabric top. Like, if somebody wants to get into that thing,
yeah,
they're getting in. That little lock's not doing anything.
Yeah,
I think that's right. with any car. Like, nowadays, they have good security systems mm-hmm. and, like, it'll make a bunch of noise and it make it, you know, a problem for people. But, like, even any car. Like,
but let's be honest. When those alarms go off, does anyone look?
Nobody looks.
I just get annoyed. Just I'm like, God oh, damn it. Someone turn your alarm
yeah.
off.
Just steal it already.
Yeah. Shut that thing up and get that car out of here.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, but anyway, so that was super off the wall. Where were we at? In the... Bring us yes, back in.
I don't know. You want to tell us about anything else you do that's crazy? Steve?
Yeah, I got a lot. But So you thought you'd be interested in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me that you've thought that the most reasonable thing to do, the first step would be research.
Yeah.
Like,
to me it was a no brainer.
Did you read about that or did you just know?
I mean, I did.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I just said, you know, medicine research.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I did do a little bit of research on this topic before right. and But I always wanted to experience research no matter what. I think even yeah. if I didn't go into medicine, I would have done some type of research. It probably wouldn't have been in neuroscience like
right.
We do right now. It would probably be like more of a physics related topic. Yeah. But I always wanted to experience research because I always think I would like it. Just the interaction, like constant interaction with somebody else. But also have your own thing and have yeah. your own project.
Yeah.
Building something. It's a little bit like I envy coders just because they yeah. create things every day.
Yeah.
You know, you create a software, you create a code, and you're just kind of giving birth to something.
Yeah.
And I don't have this computer talent, I guess, or I just I don't think it's a talent. I just never took the time to really learn
right.
this, and it doesn't really interest me that much. But I always envy kind of that feeling of just creating something. So I feel like with research, that was the closest I could do with the degree that I had.
Because you get to answer a question that nobody.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of cool. And you get to make a difference too, which
yeah.
is always nice, you know?
Yeah.
Like at the small level, really, because we're kind of like the first barrier
yeah.
to cross because there's so many hurdles
right.
To go through before, you know, you find a new treatment or something like this.
Yeah.
But it's super really rewarding to kind of find something new and say, maybe this in 5 or 10 years might help
right.
somebody out there, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, you went into Dr. Rich's lab. So you reached out to him. Did mm-hmm. you know him before?
No.
So you just reached out. You said, I'm interested.
Reached out, sent him an email. And he had like a good pedigree. He was an MD, PhD.
Yeah.
So that helped. into deciding which lab. I sent emails to a bunch of people. I might even have sent to Dr. Voss.
Right.
I don't even remember. But Mark, Dr. Rich, is the first one that replied and gave me an interview. And then he said, yeah, let's try it out. So I didn't even kind of looked at the other ones after that. Yeah.
That's what's always amazing to me is, like, I think for undergrads that, like, are interested in research, at least the ones I've come across and talked to, like, I don't think they realize how accessible it is to get into a lab sometimes. Like,
oh yeah,
you definitely have to go there and prove that you're going to be useful.
Yeah.
But like, just to get your foot in the door, if you just reach out and like say, hey, I'm interested. And like, I looked into this and this is what I'm going for. Mm-hmm. From my experience, most professors, first of all, we have more things to get done in the lab than we have time for anyways, as it is already. So extra help is always useful. Mm-hmm. But like, I think people are just like scared. Like they think that like the professors will be unapproachable or like, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have any talents or skills as an undergrad. So why would they want you in the lab? But that's kind of the culture and the way it works is like you start as an undergrad, you come in, you kind of learn some things.
Somebody's going to learn
and help out. Yeah. And
but I was definitely like, not one of them, but I would say I was definitely intimidated at first.
Yeah.
Just because you have these professors and I mean, some of them are super knowledgeable and you're like, I'm not even close to what this guy knows.
I'm a loser. Like my parents like, didn't go to high school or didn't go to college. So like,
how am I? Yeah.
Either way.
All I was asking myself is how am I going to be an asset to this person?
Yeah.
You know? And really it's with time.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, we're all human beings, I believe, have some type of intelligence. So just if they're curious enough and they put the time into it, it's definitely accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I got into the lab, I was scrubbing toilets. Like that was my job. Like, well,
I did that too.
Cleaning at nighttime. Did you really?
Oh yeah. I did cleaning. Yeah. I used to clean factories and stuff.
Oh, wow. That sounds worse. I cleaned restaurants.
Oh, so. They were nice. Do you know, the company called Bixi? They make like, city bikes. You can like pay for him and then you put it back in another place.
I know City Bikes, I don't know that particular company.
Okay, so
Bixi
was one of the first ones. So they like supplied all New York and they had all of them in Montreal. Wow. So I used to clean their factories. My buddy owned a cleaning company, so I would work for him, get a little bit of money in college like through in the summer. And dude, that factory was amazing. They had ping pong tables, like arcades and stuff like this.
What?
So I really didn't really clean. I played.
Wow, you arcade. Sound like you had a much better experience.
Yeah,
I was literally cleaning.
This was my favorite place to clean.
Turds off of a toilet. So
yeah, no, that sounds bad.
Yeah, I cleaned an Italian restaurant, and I don't know what they put in the food, but I'm telling you, the restrooms there were god awful. Like I would go in there sometimes and just be amazed at what I found. Like. How does this even happen? I've never gone into the restroom and had a result anywhere close to what I'm walking into right now.
Yeah. Is that even a human being?
Yeah.
Can a human being produce?
Yeah. I have no idea. But, you know, anyway. So, yeah. That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Where were we at? What were we talking about before that? I keep losing my place. We were talking about the lab.
Ping pong tables.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I keep thinking about too. Ping pong tables. Do you like ping pong? Did you play ping pong? Did you put it up Forrest Gump style and like?
Oh no, I played with the like coworkers. And
there were people there while you were cleaning?
We were like probably I want to say six or eight.
Oh
six
yeah,
to eight that would clean. Yeah,
clean the whole
it's
factory.
A big place.
I see. So I was by myself.
Okay.
At nighttime.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Oh no, that sucks. I would always have buddies like a group of people.
Like you fucked up. Yeah. You shouldn't have done it that way.
By yourself. You had it way worse than you.
Yeah. That's how I got into podcasts, and that's how Caleb and I ultimately kind of made a connection was through podcasts. He worked nighttime at UPS and I worked by myself nighttime at
how was
at
that?
Cleaning.
Nighttime at UPS.
Awful. It's awful.
That sounds awful.
You just unload trailers and load package cars, man. It's a part-time gig, so it's like 4-ish hours, but it's brutal.
I bet your body hurts work. From that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my body's messed up from that and a number of other things that I've done, but that did not help at all.
Yeah, so that's kind of what led to it is, you know, when you work by yourself at nighttime or even with people and you want to drown them out at nighttime, you got to listen to something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That got turned on to podcasts. So
yeah, I'm a huge podcast fan. Like I listen to it every day when I do experiments and when I do analysis. So
it's nice. 'Cause you can just learn about things on the go, you know, like, there's so many good podcasts out there, and anything you're interested in, you could find a, a podcast. At one point I was like super into, did you ever get, this was a while ago, but did you ever play the app on the phone, the little game called Clash of Clans?
Yeah, I never played it, but I know what it is.
Yeah, so there was a podcast about that. I found, like, I got into playing Clash of Clans, and like there was like nerds that would do a weekly podcast about Clash of Clans and like all the strategy, and here's what you gotta do, and like all this stuff. Like, you can find a podcast about anything. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. It's entertaining too. Sometimes if I have to concentrate, I'll put something really light in the background where I'm gonna laugh like every now and then.
Yeah.
I don't really have to listen, but sometimes I'll do like science podcasts where I'm actually like interested in listening to it. Yeah.
So what's your top, what's your go-to that you go to?
What's your top 25 podcasts?
Give us your Billboard top 100.
I like, so there's a few of them. I like, there's one about sports that I listen a lot. It's called Spit and Chicklets. And it's a hockey podcast. So they have
the chiclets are their teeth.
Yeah,
they're always teeth. Spitting out their teeth.
I get it.
Yeah, so I like that one, but this is really kind of raunchy. They have old hockey players and they just tell stories in it.
Yeah,
I mean most of them are like, you know, kind of hard to tell on like regular radio. So
right,
they do it on podcast. So I like that because it's entertaining and it's really light. If I have to go, I really do. You guys know this author called Michael Lewis?
What did he?
He did like the Big Short is probably his most popular one.
So they made a movie about it and wrote a book.
So he picks like individuals that are super interesting that the people probably don't know about, like the world doesn't know about, and he writes about them. And they did something special, or they found something special. So he has a podcast, and he talks about the referees in America. So like different referees, like he talks about judges or like sports referees or. A stock exchange, which are supposed to be the referees between the stock buyers and the sellers and stuff.
I see, yeah.
So you learn a ton about economics, and he has an economic background, so he talks a lot about economics, and I don't know anything about economics, and at some point I'm going to be making money in like 37 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to want to know what to do with the money that I will make. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like not invest in a, I don't know, teddy bear company, you know, some stupid stuff.
I'm not economics inclined either. I started as a business major when I started college.
Really?
And I took an economics class, and that's what made me switch from business. So I'm on the same page.
I try to go to areas that I'm not very knowledgeable or good about. So I like his podcast. He's really interesting, and he's always captivating. Like there's a way he talks and he writes.
Right.
That just even if it's a boring subject, you're like, wow, I want to keep reading or keep listening.
Yeah.
So I like his
that
podcast.
Sounds awesome. I'll have to check that. What was that one called?
It's called Michael Lewis.
Lewis. Yeah, I'll just look him up. Find his podcast.
I like sometimes I'll listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah.
He has when he has scientists on, I like it.
Yeah.
It's fun. Even comedians, I like some of the comedians that he has on. Sometimes though, I just want to, there's so many questions I want to ask the people that they have because I know them and I want to, like, I have questions and he just doesn't go that route. And I'm like, come on.
I do that too. I'm like, hey, this. Yeah. I remember one time they were like talking about something. They were on the verge of something that I had just seen like on the internet. Mm-hmm. Like if they had known this, like it would have made the conversation totally different.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just be like, hey. Yeah, hey, I know in. This. I know, like, I wanted to send something, but like, I get that feeling. But that's obviously my main podcast. Yeah, it's Joe Rogan, but
it's so popular.
I mean. Yeah. I mean,
there's also Freakonomics.
Oh yeah,
it's not just about economics. They have like a bunch of different topics, but that's kind of cool. They go into like very weird subjects sometimes. And
have you ever listened to Radiolab?
Oh, I have once, I think.
That one's amazing. Because I like the way they... So they like... They'll have an amazing story. And they're totally different than this podcast. This is just off the cuff and we're just having a conversation. They they do research and they cover a topic and they've got a whole production team. And what's cool about them is that they like mix in like audio with the story. So it like animates the story.
Okay.
Which is... And they do a really good job with it. Like... Mm-hmm. It's really cool. And Caitlin, you've listened to Radiolab too, right?
Yeah, I haven't in a while.
Yeah, I stopped listening to it admittedly as well.
It kind of got to the point where I not like to sound like an asshole, but I kind of knew more about the topics that I was interested in that they were actually talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, all right, I don't need this anymore. Like when they talked about CRISPR.
Oh yeah.
I know this.
There's some really cool stories that they've covered though but yeah, it's one of those things you listen to like 100 episodes and you're like, all right, we got to move on to something else. But
yeah.
But typically now that I'm in the lab and like I said, I work with people now. Before I worked by myself, so I had like, you know, I worked full time during my undergrad, so I had 8 hours of
just
uninterrupted listening. Yeah. And so music wasn't cutting it. Like,
yeah.
I listened to my whole library and then, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, now what?
So, I do audiobook too a lot.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Yeah.
And so I would just shred through podcasts. And I've literally listened up until this past year. I was current on every single one of Joe Rogan.
Oh, really?
Episode. Yeah. Every like single one without fail. Yeah. But now I miss them all the time
because
I'm like, I just don't. Not when you work with people.
Like, too.
Yeah.
20 like behind at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm way behind on podcasts now. But for people that like truck drivers and people
it's great.
It's great. Just when you have so much time to burn that you're just bored, like podcasts are amazing.
Yeah, I like too that it's somewhat, uncensored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I love too.
I like that.
I think most people in their daily lives, that's what they just are, who they are.
Yeah, no, I know. It's too politically correct sometimes. Like,
yeah.
You watch TV and I'm like, just tell me what you think.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Tell me what's on your mind. Like, that's way more interesting than the
kind
of crap that's coming out of your mouth right now.
Yeah. And you can tell when someone's not being real.
For sure.
You know? So, and, if I sense that you're not being real, then I'm not interested in what you're going to say. So if you're real with me, I can at least be like, okay, I hear what you're saying. I might not agree with it, but at least you're being real. I can respect you on that point.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's the main thing. That's the main thing with our podcast is that, you know, I think sometimes science can get the image of being like what's the word there? Come on, give me some vocab, you know, uptight or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
like white coat.
Yeah. Yeah. And from my experience, of course I go to Wright State, but you know, most people are pretty chill and like normal people. And it's like, you know, it's really not what people
from the outside
think it is all the time, I think. So.
No, I agree. Have you guys seen the movie Interstellar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie I think it's great just because, well, first, the physics in it is pretty cool. But second,
it's awesome.
They portray scientists as regular people, like a farmer.
Yeah.
You know, like Matthew McConaughey in this movie is a farmer, but he's also like a aeronautic engineer or something.
Yeah.
So I think that's what really science is,
right?
You know, it's not, we don't always wear a lab coat. Like,
yeah,
my grandpa was like, oh yeah, so like I FaceTimed him the other day and I'm in the lab and he's like, where's your white coat? Like, well, why are you dressed like this? And I'm like, what do you mean, why am I dressed like this?
Shouldn't you be wearing a tie?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, I'm working with
a bow tie.
Yeah. I want to be comfortable when I do experiments. Like, I don't want to, I'm not trying to impress anybody.
I agree. So Have you ever heard of the book The Illustrated Man?
Mm-mm.
Have you ever heard about this?
No.
It's like it's one of those books that they force you to read in class. It's like a literary classic.
Yeah.
it's one of the ones that I always like. It's like a guy that literally the stories of his past like cover his body. He's like essentially tattooed.
Okay.
But like everywhere. And each one of them are meaningful and like a story of his past. That book always interested me. And like, that's like you said, like people in science are, you know, they're not always like, you know, these super nerds that like wear a lab coat every day. Like they're normal people like you and I that have interesting stories and stuff like that. So that book always interested me. And then I always had a fascination just with scientific discovery, and like you said, I was curious and stuff like that. So I think that's what drove me towards science,
because
I knew I could do something interesting, and then like eventually I'd have all these cool stories of things that I would do. And then, you know, along the way I also got tattooed and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm trying to become the Illustrated Man going into science. That's what I'm getting at here. And then, like, eventually, all the stories of my life, it'll just be all just, over. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's like that's cool. Like I said, like we're so many different characters are in science. Yeah. It's not just one stereotypical person.
Yeah.
You know? Like you, me, Caleb. I feel like we're all different in a way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah. What did my PI told me once? I sent her an email. Kind of talking shit about another person a little bit. Her response was just one line. It just said, "People are complicated." I was like, "Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, good point. I'll back off a little bit." Yeah. Like, and I was talking, you know, we're talking about other PIs and different stuff like that. So it's just like, you know, everyone has their own demons, their own stories going on. They're not just in there doing DNA extractions all day or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy is like you know, it can be so demanding, some of the things we do, like, you know, mm-hmm. like, especially e-phys.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend all day doing an experiment and then yeah. one little thing goes wrong and your whole day is just pretty much wasted. I mean, it wasn't wasted because you had the opportunity to get something, but, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean? Like, you get to the end of the day and you feel like a total failure.
Yeah, you have to stay focused too for you know, a long amount of time, which is draining and can be difficult. But
then you also have like all this stuff outside the lab going on. And then, you know, you had aspirations to get into med school. So it's mm-hmm. like trying to balance all this stuff and doing all this stuff. And it can be challenging at times.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's challenging. But I always tell myself, like, if I'm struggling, like most people are too, you know, like I always go to a class and if I feel like I don't understand the class, I'm guessing, you know, half of them don't either. So,
yeah. What always amazes me though, and I've talked about it with other people is like, and I guess you probably haven't had the experience of teaching cause you didn't do the GTA route. But when you teach, like one thing you find out is like, you know, whatever you're teaching that this class that you're in front of, they don't understand what you're saying. You can see it on your face. Cause I'll ask a question. I'll be like, you know, I'll be teaching something and I'll ask a question and expect a response.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just looking at me like, you know what I mean? Just it's blank great. Faces.
I love it when that happens.
And I'm like, it's like oh, right. No, I'm asking that, like somebody answer. I can start calling on people, but like, you know, answer. But like you realize along the way that like students will sit there and not tell you, but they just will not, like, even if they don't understand, mm-hmm. for some reason, they won't ask the question.
Yeah, no.
That always boggles my mind. Like, I'm the kind of person, if I don't know something, like, I need to ask the question. Oh, like, I need to know the answer.
There's no shame, too, in not knowing something.
Yeah. And that's the number one thing. It's like, you know, scientists aren't special. I don't think scientists are, you know, certain scientists certainly are geniuses. Like, you can't argue Albert Einstein, he was a genius.
No, and there's geniuses in every field,
too. Yeah, and there's geniuses in every field. Not everybody's a genius, but, you know, geniuses will stand out in science, but not everybody doing science is necessarily a quote-unquote genius, mm-hmm. You know. They're just regular people. But in the thing that you have to do in science, and I think in life, even if you're not in science, you never be afraid to ask. If you don't understand, it doesn't help you. Just because you're afraid of being, you know, embarrassed, but mm-hmm. in front of your friends or whatever, it's not going to help you in the long run to not understand something.
Yeah.
Especially like these kids are paying to understand the thing that you're trying to teach them. And mm-hmm. just for sheer like social, I don't know what it is. They'll just sit there mm-hmm. and like, you'll get to the end of the class and they'll be like, I have this bad grade. And like, can we do something? It's like, well, like, where were you at the entire class we were working? You know what I mean? It's such a weird thing. But, like, I don't know what I was getting at with that. But,
yeah, I mean, for you, like, as a teacher, you can see both sides. Because you've been on the other side, too. And you know
as a student.
How you felt, too. Like, I've definitely felt, like, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm different than everybody else. I've definitely felt in a class I didn't know something and I was really, like, shy of asking just because... I didn't know how like my peers would kind of react to this question because I thought in my head
everyone else knows it.
Yeah,
that's my entire chemistry, organic chemistry series.
Yeah, no, but seriously.
Like I don't fucking know, but I'm not asking.
Yeah, exactly.
Just gonna sit here and shut up.
Yeah, no, and then looking back, I'm like, wow, why did I think like this?
Yeah, you know?
And I mean, the cool thing now is that we have great tools like Google and stuff. So I will always note it, or I'll try to remember. So go back later and Google it so you can always find the answer online. But you know, what's the arm of just raising your hand and be yeah. like, hey, then I don't know that.
Yeah. Can we like stop and like cover this thing here? Cause yeah. like it's not making sense.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be my number one thing. If I can like, you know, get anything out there in the world, it's like, don't just sit there and not know. Like, yeah. like work to figure it out. Like, I think a lot of people nowadays feel like when you go to class, it's the professor's job to make you understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the professor's job really is to be there for you to answer your questions and for you to be able to have the resource of an expert in the field
yeah.
to, you know, bounce ideas off of and get clarification and stuff like that. But you, it's still on you to do the work yeah. and learn and figure out the things that you need to figure out.
I agree. This is really in a best case scenario, I feel like.
Yeah.
The problem I feel like when you get to college is most of these kids, they're in these classes and they're just not interested.
Yep.
So like you're not going to get this response from kids.
Yeah.
A kid that he doesn't care because he doesn't care about this. Like, I mean, the weird thing I thought about college is I wanted to be like in a physics major. So I was stoked about my physics classes. I thought it was super interesting.
Yeah.
Like, analytical mechanic. I got all these like quantum mechanic, all these classes that I thought were like, wow, this is mind blowing. But then I had these art class and I mean, no disrespect, like, but I didn't care. I'm like, what am I doing here? Like,
yeah.
I'm not gaining anything through this. And I feel like it's a kind of a waste of time, yeah. but I understand why they have to do it because some of them are going to change major. So you have to yeah. kind of ease your way into a major.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So it's tough to put all the blame on the students because most of them are like, yeah, I don't want to be here.
Well, yeah. And we also grow up in a world now where like a degree is really not enough. Like a degree is like the new GED yeah. now. So it's like, crazy. You know, you get out of high school and you're just kind of, you know, pooped out into the world.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do I do now? Like, I have no skills. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to figure something. I don't want to be poor the rest of my life. I don't want to break my back the rest of my life. I need to figure out
yeah.
what to do. And if you grow up in our generation, like your parents, I would come from a similar background as you. My mm-hmm. parents didn't go to college, but they were like, hey, if you don't want to work the crappy job I was working, go to school.
Yeah.
And so that's like, the first step you take. You're like, mm-hmm. okay, I guess I got to go to school. And yeah. then you just kind of got to figure it out. And like you said, there's these required classes
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting through them and you're like, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's tough. I think that's one of the most difficult things is like.
So like instead of these, they should do like instead of these art classes or like, let's say history, if you're not interested in history, I don't know how to make my, like fill my tax.
Like, do your teach taxes
me, yeah
oh Jesus yeah
teach me how to,
that'd be great
teach me how to
please help me figure
year.
That out
yeah. yeah. that would be great just a class like this like a required class for college yeah. I mean I feel like
that's an idea.
The world would gain so much more with this
yeah dude but, taxes yeah. is brutal
yeah
that'd be tough though because like it changes like all the time like
I know you got to stay like
just
up
the
to
basics
date.
Though,
but yeah
right?
the basics
like,
yeah
but yeah the basics I feel like I mean if somebody that you hire or you pay can do it if you can spend 6 months or like 4 months whatever how long a semester is
yeah.
to learn this I feel like I don't know
yeah and I feel like we do like I don't think you can ultimately get around lecturing like mm-hmm. any discipline you go into there's gonna be a point where you gotta do a lecture or at least you gotta go through something similar to that like watch YouTube videos or something mm-hmm. like, you have to just get the knowledge in and learn it somehow.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. So like you can't just get rid of that altogether, but sometimes I think we do it way too much. Like there's too many classes, too much lecturing. Like I think maybe this should be in high school, maybe in college as an undergrad, but like we don't explore careers anymore. Like we don't like before, like earlier in history, even in medical school, like as a medical, in a medical education was more of an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
You would find some guy that you admired and liked mm-hmm. what he
a
did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'd find a mentor and then you would be like, hey, I'm interested in this thing. Can I come and just offer my services? And all you're going to pay me is your knowledge.
Yeah.
And now like we don't do that. You spend years and years and pay top dollar and you know take out these loans and most people get to the end of their degree and they have no idea what their job really looks like after that. They don't even know what job they're going to apply for. You know what I mean? So it's like,
here's an idea. Maybe like the first class can be an internship.
Yeah.
You do an internship, like you want to be a lawyer. You do an internship in a law firm and you see what the day to day of a lawyer is.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, all right, I can do this, or, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah. There's a lot of papers sitting on that desk. I don't want to read all those. Yeah.
So, I mean, it saves the student a huge amount of money.
Yeah. And because how many majors go in? I mean, I was one of them that changed their major. I was lucky. I only changed once. A lot of people change several times.
You can't expect a kid, 18-year-old kid, to come in college and be like, I mean, some of them do. I'm not trying to generalize, but some of them do. But I feel like most of us are like, I don't know what I want to do in 20 years from now.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. I agree. I think that there's, you could say that about anything though. There's some major issues with the system in place now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some great things and then there's some not great things, but I think it's, you know, conversations like this and learning more and figuring out what the actual needs are.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like the universities will have to change structure at some point, especially, you know, I talked about that a little bit with Dr. Speck last episode with the advent of the internet, especially, like, it just can't be the same. It's been the same for so long, mm-hmm. so many years. It's been the same structure. And it's just going to have to change. If they want to stay around. Yeah, if they want to stay around and just not become obsolete. Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, there's a ton of, I feel like, changes they can make, but it's probably hard to implement too.
It is. I mean, it's such a complex problem.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to, you know, give people the skills they need before mm-hmm. they really know they need them. And you're trying to convince them they need to know them. And you're trying to figure out, everyone has a different learning style.
Yeah.
And there's so many problems, but I feel like there's some problems that there's some easy solutions to.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I think some kind of, like you said, internship or something like that would be huge.
Yeah, just exposure, or like going through labs too in college. We did 12 labs a semester, which is huge. I mean, you don't get to learn 12 labs. I mean, I don't remember 3/4 of the lab that I did in chemistry or organic chemistry.
Yeah.
Why not focus on one project where you're actually going to be involved in and where you're actually going to be able to do some real research, you know?
Yeah.
Like learn a technique. You're not going to be able to learn like 20 like you do right now, but you kind of half learn them. You don't really learn them. You follow a manual and you're like, all right, step one, I put this amount of powder in this amount of water. Step two.
And that's the thing too. We're also... humans are inherently smart. That's what separate, like, we are smart, you know, even when we don't know a lot. Like, there's a difference between intelligence and just like, someone can have like a natural intelligence and not know a lot of things. They're ignorant to things. Mm-hmm. So they seem stupid, but they're still smart. They're still smart. They have the ability to, you know, learn, see something and learn it and do it and become good at it. Yeah. Like you said, if you practice and put in the time, but like, because we're smart, when we're told to do something that is clearly made up and is a waste of time,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to put a lot of effort into that and try and commit that to memory. You're like, this is BS.
That's like all my organic chemistry labs were just, how fast can I get out of here?
Yeah.
Oh, see, it was a race, dude. I was sweating through chemistry. Oh, Kim. Just like running around like a madman. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a pretty good partner and we would get out of there pretty speedy.
Yeah. I know. I did organic chemistry in one summer. So one and two back to back.
That's brutal.
Yeah. It's brutal. Terrible. I don't recommend it.
I don't either.
But so I wrote 24 lab reports in like 3 months.
Yeah.
So,
what are you learning? You're just a robot churning out stuff.
I was just rewriting the same sentence like 20 times, and I'm like, this is garbage. Yeah. Like, I'm just turning in garbage.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was a waste of time. Instead of like just put a group of us, four, let's say, on a project and see where this takes these guys. And then you have like the TAs. And
give us a real problem.
Yeah.
There's 100 questions I have in my lab currently
that could be
done. I can employ 40 undergrads right now. I'm not saying their projects are going to be awesome at the end of it, but...
And it doesn't really matter if it's reported correctly and if the science that they did, the thought process was good.
Yeah.
I feel like,
come to me, ask some questions. I'll be like, hey, this is stupid. Do something else.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and then we'll make progress.
Them, you lead them into a different path will lead to something else. It might not be a good solution, but at least, you know, they're thinking about it. Like, I didn't think. That's the thing. I didn't think throughout my labs.
Right. Yeah.
And now that I'm in a real lab where I actually am like in charge of a project and stuff, I really feel like now I have to think.
Yeah.
And use the skills
100%. Yeah.
That I learned or that I, you know, thought myself.
And then you have to be creative too sometimes. Yeah, yeah. You have to come up with something that, mm-hmm. you know, you're the only one thinking about this. So what's, you know, what's the thing we haven't thought about yet, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing. If I could get that across, you know, in the podcast, it's like, once you get to the research part, once you get through your undergrad stuff that you have to do, it gets so much better.
Yeah.
It's way better. It's not even the same as the labs that you experience in your undergrad.
Mm-hmm. I would just sell science by saying freedom.
Yeah.
Just screaming freedom. Because that's really what you have.
Yeah.
You have a ton of freedom. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if I want to, like sometimes, let's say I can't sleep. It'll happen like every now and then. I just can't sleep. What I'll do is instead of twiddling my thumb in the bed, and I'll just go to the lab and I'll do some data analysis or start an experiment at like 10 p.m. and then come out at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh, I got this done
because I have the free,
I have the freedom to do this. And then I'm going to come in the next day at 12, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's fine. You can do, like, you have so much freedom as a scientist.
Yeah. One time last semester, I pulled an all-nighter in the lab just because, like, you know, you have, like you said, you have that freedom to kind of make your own schedule.
It's
so
not a 9-to-5 job. No. Like, you don't have to sit at a desk. You don't have to show your face if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is really attractive to a lot of people, but most people don't know about this.
I know.
They don't think about science like this. So I didn't think about it like this when I started my undergrad. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a huge problem. Like I said, me and Caleb and I, we were bio majors, mm-hmm. and it was like two options. It's like, or well, I probably knew of a couple options. Be a doctor,
mm-hmm.
work at a zoo, maybe. Yeah. like I don't know. Like, there was like a few things in my mind that you could do with
Discovery
this
Channel.
Yeah. And I had no idea. I knew about scientists, like mm-hmm. obviously the famous ones.
Yeah.
And they, you know, were super fascinating, and I would read about them and it's like, this is amazing. But I didn't know the actual process. Like, I would know what they figured out.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what they were doing day to day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's really cool. It's really amazing what they actually do.
Yeah.
And so I would definitely, I guess in closing, that's what I would suggest to undergrads out there, is just reach out to a lab before you make a commitment to anything that you're going to do, PA school or this or that. Maybe check out a lab. It certainly wouldn't hurt, and it always looks good on a
resume
or something like that.
That's what I tell
that.
People that just doing research, if you can get your name on a paper or anything, really, it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can say, oh, I'm not, you can be a piece of shit and say, oh, I'm an author.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Oh, man. Well,
yeah. Hey, by the way, Caleb, I love your mustache. You guys can't see it, but
thanks.
It's just glorious.
Oh, they'll see it. They'll see
Well, maybe if I recorded this correctly.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, it is getting pretty
it's nice.
Pretty legit these days.
It's pretty it's out of control.
So,
someone
said, what was your inspiration for this stash? Just sheer
I don't know.
Crap.
I think it was when I worked at UPS, their grooming standards were much like the military, and I was like, I'm just going to grow a big mustache and wait till they tell me I can't.
Nice.
And I just kept going. And then one day my boss pulled me in and said, man, we got to do something about this mustache. And I was like, not happening.
I quit.
I quit. Yeah, I'm like, I'm leaving in like 3 months, dude. Good luck.
Yeah. Some of the greatest thinkers of history had...
Oh yeah,
impressive stashes.
This is nice. This is
true.
So
you guys need stashes.
I know. I feel left out.
Yeah,
mine doesn't get nice though. I can't grow a nice one like that.
Really, I've never tried. It just
takes time.
Yeah. How long have you been growing this?
Oh, I've trimmed it a bunch of times, so I don't know. I've had it for a long time now.
Okay.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. You had it when you were helping me move, which was a good while back now. So
that was back in Kettering. Yeah.
It's been at least a 4 years or something I've seen this guy with a mustache.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's because, like, I grew it, and then I got into grad school, and I went to a conference, and then I was like, well, now they know me as the guy with the mustache.
Yeah. So now it's part of your identity.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
There's no turning back.
So, I don't think everybody can pull it off, though.
No, like, I agree.
Yeah,
because I feel like I would look kind of stupid with it.
You never know.
But you never know until you try, right?
I think it just depends on, you know, what you can grow. Like, for me, it just looks like it doesn't grow in like a mustache. Like a mustache. Should.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it just depends. But
that's like my beard. I can't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. I don't know.
But that's awesome. Well, do you have anything to,
well, I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, for, I know what you're doing, Steve, cause I work with you on a daily basis, but I'm interested in what, Caleb is doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I'm a microbial ecologist. So my, PhD is going to be in microbiology. So half of my work is involved in what they would call like clean access and planetary protection stuff. So I work with a melt probe that would basically go through ice. So I work in a cold lab, and a lot of their field research is in Antarctica. And a lot of our money comes from NASA because of the stuff that we do might be able to be used on other planets like Europa. So this melt probe thing, I work with how to clean it and how to kind of maintain sample integrity. So like what happens to your sample or what happens to the melt probe as it goes through ice and down to subglacial environments.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of that stuff, and it's a lot of like I don't know. I do a lot of colony forming units. I do a lot of DNA stuff. I don't know. I do a lot of weird stuff. Like I'm not the typical like microbiologist that you'd think of probably. So I do like a lot of dye work, weird stuff. Like I use ice blocks. I don't know. But then I study snow algae. I also do a lot of stuff with snow algae.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with any of that.
Yeah, he's super interested in cold, icy stuff.
Okay.
Things living in ice.
No, I'm not, but it sounds really cool though. Do you do all your work at Wright State?
No,
I'm at the University of Tennessee.
Oh, you're in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tennessee Knoxville. So
nice.
And he's in a PhD program down there.
Okay. That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So we met at Sinclair.
Oh, I see.
That's where we both started.
Okay.
And then we did our 2 years. Well, I spent 3 years there. How long did you spend? Did you do two?
I don't know.
Anyway, we met in biology.
No, it's all a blur with all the softball and the beer.
Exactly. So we met there, and then I went off to Wright State, and he went off to UC. Mm. And then we kept in touch because we were gamers and podcasters or listened to podcasts, and then we were into gaming and stuff like that. And so we just kept in touch, and eventually we got into research, and we're like, hey, we have something interesting to talk about for a podcast. Let's do a podcast.
Yeah. And I like your guys' name too. I think it's cool.
Oh,
the
awesome.
Beaker Report. It's a cool name.
So it was a team effort, coming up with a name. I think Caleb, it
took a while.
Yeah. I think Caleb, that's the hardest thing is coming up with a name for something. It's like, you know, what are you going to call this thing? And then he told a story about, I forget what your initial suggestion was, but it was something involving a beaker, and you were talking about how they call scientists in Antarctica
beaker,
like that. So they have like, what'd you say? They have, tell the story about the beakers.
I think that's really it. I can't remember the exact story I told, but it's basically down in Antarctica. It's kind of like a community based system down there. So you have pretty much everything you would have in any community, right? So you have like engineers, and then you have the people that are truck drivers, you have the chefs, and you know, and then you have the scientists down there, and the scientists, they refer to them as beakers, and they kind of think that's of them as hopeless, helpless scientists that need help, like screwing in light bulbs, like, oh god, the beakers can't get the lights to work, like, let's go fix it for them.
So he did something beaker, and then I don't think I loved the first idea of the name. And I was like, well, we'll keep Beaker. And then I kind of workshopped it. And then there's another like radio show, or it's a sports show, actually. Yeah,
the Bleacher Report.
That's
the first thing that popped in my head. And I was that's a twist on Bleacher Report.
Exactly.
And I was like, that's genius.
Well, I'm glad you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think Caleb has to get back to the little Amelia.
Yeah,
I gotta
go dad it up.
Yeah.
Let me plug my
another podcast.
I was on a podcast. Yeah, I was on a Wall Street Journal podcast called "The Future of Everything," and it was the latest episode. And it was I forget the title of it. It's called
Frozen
like Alien Worlds.
Frozen
Worlds.
Frozen World.
You know more than I do. Like, this is how bad I am at this stuff.
He sent it to me.
Are you guys dating?
Pretty much. This is my second wife.
I think I'm the husband. That's a whole other story.
You never know these days.
Yeah. So I guess you don't. I don't know. That just went south real quick. So anyways, yeah, so I was on that podcast, and I talk a little bit about my project, and it kind of goes through the whole story of what my PI does in Antarctica and how our work really influences kind of like maybe NASA research.
Oh.
Oops. I'm back.
It was really cool, though. He actually got, like, it was fun. Was it
a couple minutes in.
Was it a planned interview, or was it literally your PI needed to go do something? They're like, hey, let's talk to this guy for a second.
That's pretty much it. Like, I thought they might talk to me a little bit, and I was the first one there, actually. Like, my PI was late, so I gave them the tour of everything, and then they did their own thing. Like, the sequence of the podcast isn't in the sequence how it happened.
Right.
So, like, my part was, like, first, and all the other stuff happened later, It was just, like, a hodgepodge, and they kind of mixed and matched it to make it, like a story.
It was funny when they, because he found out they were coming. And he was like, oh, this podcast, they're coming and they're going to record like sounds in the lab. Because like they're similar to that radio lab thing where they do little sound effects during the story or whatever. Okay. And I was like, oh, cool. They're going to like hear like pipette clicking. Like what what kind of sounds are they going to get for the lab?
Yeah, like a bunch of clean hoods opening. Yeah. Like, I don't even remember what sounds they got.
I told him to put some liquid nitrogen in a thing and like do the boiling.
Yeah, there you go.
And then him like twirling his mustache. Yeah. Did you identify any sounds from your lab that they used or no?
Like when I'm talking, they get the sounds of like the stuff I was working with in the background, but they didn't like, so there's a process in the DNA extraction where it's called bead beating. Like you have silicone and glass beads and you just beat your sample with it. And it's this machine. I don't know, it's a tabletop machine, but it's kind of big, maybe like a foot and a half tall, but it just shakes real fast, and it's super loud, and we recorded it and everything for them, but they didn't put it in, and that was the highlight.
They were like, this sounds obnoxious.
Yeah, you heard the sound, and he's like, this is going to make it for sure. This is a great sound, but nope.
They're just like, no, that's stupid.
Yeah. I told him to like get some styrofoam like squeaking together and like
yeah. Oh, I hate that sound. That would have been bad.
Yeah, I don't remember what the sounds were. I'm gonna have to listen back. I think it's just like background noise, like people walking, a lot of that.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. Wall Street Journal podcast. Caleb's famous.
Nice. I'm not.
But yeah, check it out. Check out Wall Street Journal. What's the podcast like called? I know the episode.
The Future of Everything.
The Future of Everything. Okay, so check out The Future of Everything. Check out Caleb's episode, Frozen Worlds. And then, I don't know, do you have anything to plug?
Well, are you putting me on the spot here?
Yeah. We got to read.
You don't need to plug anything.
Shout out to my boy. No, seriously, thanks for having me, guys. It was awesome. My first podcast experience, and I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
You did great.
No, thanks. I feel like I'm on the other side now. I can.
Yeah. You've been there, done that.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Opened a whole new, like another door just opened.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole new world. I feel like a new man.
Yeah. All right. Let's break out into song.
Oh, we're doing songs again. That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so thanks to Chris again for coming on. It's been a blast, and we'll be back next week. If you're new to YouTube, we're new to YouTube. If you're new to YouTube, check out our website. Social media.
Or if you're not new, just check it out.
If you're coming back, check it out. Everything's at The Beaker Report, Instagram and Facebook. We're mostly on Instagram. I kind of don't like Facebook personally. But also we have a website, beakerreport.com. And we'll be back next week. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.